Welcome, everyone, to episode 134 of Bike Club Show. This is Eileen.
This is Stephanie.
And this is Shannon.
And we are back. We have a new episode of The Vampire Diaries to recap. It is episode 4 of season 4 called The Five, which reveals a lot, I believe, in this episode. But before we do that, let us remind you that this is Bike Club Show, where each week we sink our teeth into your favorite fantastic shows. You can find us at bikeclubshow.com. You can email us bikeclubshow@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/bikeclubshow, and on Twitter at Bike Club Show. We start each and every week with our wine selection of the week. Who's going to go first? Do you want me to go first? Or Steph, you have mystery wine. What is this?
Oh, okay. Ooh. Well, I'm just drinking. That's all I'm saying. I can't tell you what it is or what brand it is, but I can tell
she
you
she doesn't
tasty,
know.
And this is going to be a good episode.
Okay. All right. We'll. Yeah. I won't press you. Shannon, go for it.
Okay. So mine is a Folie du Alexander Valley Sonoma County Cabernet Sauvignon from 2009.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui. And it is freaking delicious. It's only $24, so it's a little more expensive than the stuff we can usually find at Trader Joe's, but it's so, so delicious. It's so good. So on the back it says, blah, 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 Sonoma County's finest appellations, including this classic Cabernet Sauvignon. It's a passion shared by two. And it's very, very fruity. So you got your blackberries and your cherries and strawberries, like everything's combined, and it's really, really strong. I wouldn't recommend drinking a lot of it at one time because it tastes kind of strong. So maybe I'll just have one little glass tonight, but I'd give it 3 stars or 3 fangs. I like it.
Nice. I have a Chateau de Guise. I have no idea. Sorry, French people. And believe this is direct from France. There is a magnificent 200-acre vineyard situated on gravelly and clay limestone soils overlooking the Garonne River, which is near southern France. The harvest is done by hand, and the wine is matured in French oak barrels for 12 months. The bouquet is complex with ripe fruits and spices, very soft and intense on the palate with an elegant tannic structure. Great aging potential. Oh, I guess I should have aged a little bit more because, 2009, not too bad. And best served at 62 degrees Fahrenheit. I've never seen that before until now. So this wine, I'll give you a little story on this. My husband has signed up on a website called lot18.com.
And oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah. So apparently what it does, it ships you, like, at least we got 2 bottles on our first shipment. And what it does is it just sort of ships you wines based on your preference and sort of like the kinds of wines that you like. And a lot of times, I guess it gives you access to high quality, hard to find wines. And they actually supposedly offer some of these wines at a nice sort of a discount. They offer sort of like, packs like, oh, here, maybe get the Spanish pack or get, this winery pack or this and that. And so we got our first shipment, and this was one of the 2 bottles of wine that we got. I believe there's like an accompanying like app as well with it, and you could buy more or you could just it's just buy when you want. It's not like a subscription service or anything, but they make good recommendations. And I have to say, this wine is delicious. It's very smooth. It feels, it tastes very mature, and I can't wait. I only had 1 glass of it last night, and I'm holding the bottle right now. I'm drinking coffee as we record tonight.
Wait a minute.
I know, but I'm gonna have some with dinner after we record. So I'm very excited to have some more. It's that good. We got home last night from a trip, and so we had 1 glass each before going to bed, and now we're gonna finish the bottle tonight after this recording. So very excited. Yeah, it's definite 4 fangs. Kind of harboring 4.5, really. It's that good.
Wow.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Your scale, is it 5 fangs is the ultimate?
5 is the ultimate. This wine costs $25, so it is a little bit higher too, like Shannon's wine in our typical scale. But it's good. I mean, it's kind of, you get what you pay for in many senses, half the time. So I definitely recommend this wine. It's really, really good. And I don't want to pronounce it again. Chateau de something. I don't want to butcher the name one more time. But check out lot18.com and see if you agree with me on their recommendations for you. All right, let's get into our news. Breaking Dawn, Press Junkets.
Woohoo!
Have we watched them? I've watched a ton online. Rob, Kristen, and Taylor. You know, there's several interviews with all three of them in the same room. The big one was the MTV 30-minute interview. And then at the end, Stephenie Meyer came out and hung out with them for like 5 minutes or so. What did we think? Did you guys watch these interviews? Did you watch any Press Junkets?
Them.
You did. Okay. So
I saw the first few minutes of them. I thought they all looked great, but I'm going to wait for you guys to give me the highlights.
Oh.
And go.
I felt a little, I don't know, annoyed the whole time I was watching them.
Oh, why?
Not only because MTV had broken them up into 18 different parts, which was really annoying.
Yeah.
But the way that Kristen was sitting there and fidgeting the whole time, and she was like not answering the questions fully. It just drove me nuts. I was like, just calm down.
I did notice that her leg was constantly shaking.
Yeah,
the entire time. The entire time she was moving.
Nervous. Yeah, I mean that was I don't know in the chronology of interviews. I know that there were bigger press junkets, like with bigger press in a bigger press room. But then this thing with MTV might have been one of the first ones that they did all together.
So you're saying it's a little awkward for her?
Yeah, I think it was a little awkward for her. But I think she's awkward in general, and we've seen that over the years. So I know, because you see Rob and Taylor, and they're pretty just still, right? They're just kind of there. I felt Rob was a lot more sarcastic and kind of ready for all of this to be over. Not in a bad way, but just like, all right, this is it, you know? And he kind of like doesn't give any BS answers in a way. It's sort of like, I don't know. I mean, it's his typical mannerism of kind of being brutally honest. And if you were looking for anything, if you were looking for any signs of, I don't know, personal thing, they kind of just held it together. What do you think, Shannon?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with you. I kind of enjoyed listening to Rob's answers because he is very honest.
Yeah.
And he's kind of funny. He's a lot more outspoken than he used to be when he first started doing these kind of interviews. So that was nice.
Yeah, I agree. And he's just is very, what do you call it? I don't know. I think he's kind of humble. He's kind of doesn't take himself too seriously. I think really, it just sounds like he just can't stand the paparazzi. He just kind of like doesn't like too much of the attention. There was some pictures, I guess they had, Rob and Kristen had gone out on Halloween night. There was some Halloween.
With their masks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. And
they're really creepy masks.
Yeah. And he said
$3 at 7-Eleven or something.
Yeah. I heard that in England, they don't really celebrate Halloween. Like, it's a kid's thing. So he just didn't get it. He was like, what? And then didn't realize that, like, people were going to go, like, way overboard to make costumes. And they went to a party. So he just got that mask.
Right. Like, and Kristen got a matching one. There's a link on our Facebook page that actually shows them holding hands walking around with their masks. And it's kind of cute because it's like, even though you can't see their faces, it's like, Kristen still has that mannerism, that body language where she's kind of sulking and looking down all the time.
Yeah.
And then even when the camera hits them, they release their hands even though they're wearing the masks. So it's pretty obvious that it's them. They can't really hide behind the mask.
Yeah.
But it's nice to, you know, see them out and about.
Yeah. Looks like, you know, it looks like they're for real, I guess. Yeah.
Or at least they're trying, I guess.
Yeah. It looks like a huge... Yeah, I'm looking at that link now. I hadn't seen all these other pictures. But, it looks like it was a huge party.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they were at some party...
at a cemetery.
Well, yeah. Oh, my God, really? Is this a cemetery?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a cemetery.
Yeah, they're hanging out with, like, Chris Evans and Minka Kelly, lots of fun pictures. But Kristen Stewart, she can't hide behind that mask.
No.
No way.
Nope. All right. So did you guys take a chance, get a chance to watch some of these new previews from the movie, or did you just decide I don't want to look at them because I don't want to get spoiled?
I did. Yeah. I've seen the Bella learning to be human scene.
Oh, you have? Okay.
I'm that might have been at Comic-Con. I'm assuming it is, because they showed us so much stuff from this last movie.
That's right. Okay.
The arm wrestle scene, I can't wait to actually see in the theater.
I know.
That's going to be so cool.
And they cut it right at the part where, like, okay, oh, I wanted to see.
I'm like, oh, come on. Who's going to win? Who's going to win?
Yeah. The edited versions, or the kind of like behind the scenes?
They're the edited.
They're edited.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't get a chance to watch the edited versions, which I am sure look amazing, but I did watch, there's like a 5-minute behind the scenes video of them shooting Rick and Dawn Part 2.
Ah.
And it's from the perspective of like behind the cameras, like they still have the green screens, they still have like the off, you know, the actors who are off screen in the shot and everything. Actually, I'll provide a link in our show notes, but it's pretty cool. Like, they actually show the scene where they're doing the arm wrestling, and is it Emmett? He like picks up this big rock.
Yep.
And it looks incredibly light from this behind the scenes video, but in the edited movie, I'm sure it looks really awesome and heavy. yeah, it's great. It's so weird to hear all of this dialogue though that they have in the behind the scenes footage. Just without any music or anything. So check that out.
That's cool. Very cool. And then the other scene is when Bella sees her home for the first time. And I thought that was pretty well kind of to the book, you know?
Yeah, the cabin. Oh,
right.
It's so cute.
The cabin. And Alice is like, okay, we thought you might need your own home. And then she just lets them off. And then she kind of walks in and it's like, crazy and decorated, and there's all these clothes in your closet, and then you know, that's when they're about to have hot vampire sex, but they cut it. You don't get to watch that till you see the movie. So apparently there's like some sort of twist to the end of the movie that's Ooh. Like good for the fans.
Oh yeah, they mentioned something in the interview,
right? And it's something like that the fans would be really happy about. So obviously if it's Stephanie Meyer blessed, great, but I wonder what that is. So
maybe we'll see Renesmee as an adult.
That would be cool. Renesmee as an adult with Jacob. With
Jacob, yeah. That'd be pretty cool, because that's not in the book, right?
Yeah, that's not in the
book.
I read
a bunch of fan fiction, so I get a little clouded on what really happens, but I would love, love, love to see at least a glimpse of Renesmee and Jacob in their, you know, her not being a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That'd
be really cool.
So I can't wait for that. And the movie opens in just a couple of weeks. Crazy Town.
It's Shannon's birthday.
Yay.
Yeah, I totally made an invite for you guys on Facebook to go see the movie with her birthday.
You know, I'm so mad I won't be able to watch it because I'll be in Las Vegas for a wedding. So I'm actually going to miss your birthday, Shannon. I'm so sorry. But I will be thinking about you guys and the Twilight movie the entire time.
Oh, of course, of course. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into our recap of The Vampire Diaries Season 4, Episode 4, The Five. So the show starts off with a flashback scene, and I can't remember what year, but a long time, 12th century.
It's 1012.
Yeah.
1100 or 12.
They even put AD.
Yeah, they did. Was it 1100 AD? Is that what they said?
Yeah, okay. something around there, like the first
so
years.
So we got a witch in the middle, and we got five hot guys, that basically have no shirts on. I'm like, oh, are these all models? And then I'm like, oh, they're vampire hunters, I bet. Mm-hmm. And so we just see sort of the spell take place and kind of like, I think, the beginnings of whatever this clan of vampire hunters are.
So it looks like it was a binding type of spell. I mean, we couldn't really understand what the witch was saying, but eventually, like, there's this like little bit of fire that creeped out to these five different, you know, really, really cut gentlemen. Right. And then they started to grow tattoos on their skin.
Yeah.
We learn more about that later, but
We do. So I like this. I like that there's a new mythology. I never even thought about vampire hunters, really, and what they mean to a supernatural world. And I kind of like that. I kind of was not expecting that. And it's, I think, like we've talked about in the past, I think it's good that we haven't gone full werewolf or whatever yet. I mean, we have werewolves because the hybrids and whatnot. But it's, I mean, this is the one show that I think, well, no, True Blood has more. Right? True Blood has more? Yeah, because they have the supernaturals that can, like, turn into anything, like Sam.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. So they have more. But this, you know, I think in this series, you know, they're still just kind of focusing on the vampire. Like, the vampires are the baddest of the bad mm-hmm. at this point. Let's see here. Trying to remember what happens next, but really it's sort of Elena doing more practicing with Stefan, and
you mean like the practicing in the woods?
Yeah, in the
dodging
woods.
Arrows.
Yep.
Oh, that was really cute.
I like that.
Elena was well, it's because they were talking about Elena going off to college with Damon. And she said, you know, like, well, you know, Stefan, it's because, you know, you get weird when there's a lot of blood and I need to learn how to do this. Understood. And he throws Stefan throws an arrow at Elena's head and she barely dodges it. And she picks it up and throws it back at him. Like, and it's just like, pew. Like, this is great. Like, the little special effects of how fast she can throw. And then she has this little giggle. It's so cute. Like, she's starting to really like aspects of being a vampire at this point. You can tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the food thing, because she's just like, listen, the animals don't work. Fake, you know, the hospital blood doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I need real from the vein. And
from the vein.
Yeah.
She kind of called it like a doppelganger curse or something. She's like, it's because I'm the doppelganger. I need the good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, do we really know, or is she just guessing?
I think she's just guessing, but yeah. It kind of makes sense because she really can't hold down any other food.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, poor Matt's been bitten so many times. He can't really mm-hmm. be her blood bank too many more times, right? Mm-hmm. So she does. So they decide to go with Bonnie to a college and to visit Bonnie. To visit Whitmore College. Mm-hmm. As sort of what? Like, what do you call this?
When well, freshmen Bonnie's been in. Yeah, it's Bonnie's like been invited tour. To this college by her professor, of her witchcraft professor.
Right.
And yeah, it just happens to be Halloween. Awesome.
Yeah, it just happens. So what were you guys thinking before, you know, watching the scenes, you know, knowing that Damon was going to teach her and
He was totally going to make a move.
Yeah, did you?
I did too. I thought they were going to end up in bed together.
The preview,
yeah,
the preview last week of them, you know, oncing at the little frat party, like, you know, just rocking out to that popular song on the radio right now. Mm-hmm. And like, she's got her arms around him, they're grooving, they look high, they look like they're on X. I thought that Damon was gonna totally make out with her, but mm-hmm. didn't actually happen that way.
Yeah, no, she got a little out of hand. We'll just jump right now. She got a little out of hand. She got a little high, I guess, mm-hmm. on the blood from the vein. She kind of drank a few college co-eds there.
Who are also high. So I wonder if, like, the highness of the food source caused her to be all high. I'm not sure.
And then
I think she does, though, because he said to not take the stoner type because you don't want to get that.
Yeah. And then in the end, she kind of snapped out of it at one point. And then Bonnie was looking at them and, you know, kind of sending daggers to Damon and Elena. And Elena was freaking out like, this is not me. This is not me.
She was really beating herself up because she realized this is not me. This is not who I want to be. This is not, you know, the Elena who is driven by love and compassion. This is hungry, very hungry Elena who just wants to eat and compels people.
Right.
She didn't like herself.
Yeah, she's because, you know, Damon was constantly telling her, you're more like me, you're more like me. And she's just like, no, I'm not. And she kind of at least kind of realized that. And she thought when she left that party all kind of broken up, you know, like, I should be here with Stefan. And originally she didn't want Stefan to go because she didn't want Stefan to have
be
any.
Ripper.
Yeah, to be the ripper. Yeah. So in the end, I think she's, at least at this point, has just decided, like, well, you know, she needs to go through this with Stefan. And Damon was maybe probably not the right choice.
Did you guys feel bad for Stefan, though, because he overheard her saying all of this? I feel bad for him.
But I think it's stuff that he knows, right?
Yeah, but it's just hard, like, because he's in a way, he's being a little selfless.
Yeah.
Because he's taking her out and trying to teach her. And then she says, oh, I shouldn't be experiencing this with Damon and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, it's because you don't want to be like me. So it's almost like a jab at his character as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like he essentially just realizes that just Elena just doesn't want to be like him, even though he's
that's a good point, Stephanie.
Yeah, he's trying to show her, like, she didn't really have a choice. This is who she is now. Mm-hmm. And she has to learn. But then again, he's hurt because she's like, I don't want to be like Damon. And she won't straight out say it, but that's what she means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he kind of sulks throughout the episode after this. Damon.
Oh, mm-hmm. So wait, are you saying, do I feel bad for Stefan or Damon?
Damon.
Oh.
Because he's already supposed to have left town.
Yeah.
He sticks around to try to help. And then he just keeps going through this rejection from Elena, like, over and over and over. Even to his face. It's just, I feel bad for the guy.
Hmm.
It's kind of like, man, if I were him, I would
just... I do too. He just keeps on sticking around and taking it.
Yeah. And he takes it because, well, I mean, it's no secret he loves her. I mean, at this point, Elena remembers everything that Damon has said to her, but it's kind of like he's just stick around being that guy that's going to get punched around.
I'm really glad that she does too. I'm glad we didn't beat around the bush, because we knew all that stuff from last season, and I'm glad she just remembers it all. So it's sort of like, let's take care of that loose end, you know, and not belabor it anymore. So then she's got, what I like about that is then Vampire Elena is presented with all of the information.
Right.
You know, she knows about Stefan's past. She knows about first meeting Damon. And now she can make, like, real informed decisions, even though she's highly emotionally charged in her transformation. I like that, because they're giving her a chance, you know, to really make the best decision instead of... And I think she's just going to go through an evolution that'll take her from brother to brother many times.
She'll just go back and forth.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of what's going to happen. Unless...
It's happened already to some extent without her doing anything.
Although, you know, we didn't get to see Caroline in this episode. So, you know, the Caroline and Stefan saga. I'm like, oh, I guess that's not going to be it.
And there's also the Caroline and Klaus thing that's still unfinished.
Yeah, that's
well.
True. I mean, that's kind of more... I think that's more prominent for Caroline's storyline mm-hmm. right now, but I don't know. I think Stefan and Caroline, I don't know. I just feel like, Elena's going to break Stefan's heart. So I feel like I'm rooting for Caroline and Stefan because I want I want Stefan to end up with someone different. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us something different. And, I just want something good for the Ripa, the reformed Ripa.
I must say, though, going back to Elena, though, I am pretty pleased that they're spending so much time with the transformation of Elena.
Mm-hmm.
Namely because her character is quite unique in the way that, yes, she's a vampire, but in her human life, I mean, and Stefan says this later in the episode, but he says that, you know, Elena is driven by her compassion and love, and therefore if she... when she kills for the first time, and it will happen, she will probably not be able to handle it because she can't stand herself. She would never be able to figure herself. And he's saying that if she gets to the point where she feels this guilt, this huge guilt, she's going to turn off her humanity, much like the other vampires have done in the past, namely Stefan. And he thinks that, you know, it takes such a big endeavor to bring a vampire back from not having their humanity. That she will likely never come back if she turns it off. She'll just be crazy.
Oh, wow.
And so I think that's, like, really important that we have an episode like this where she goes out and she tries to do things correctly with Damon. And even though it doesn't go the way that Damon had planned, it's nice to see that the dynamic just in case.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Damon's like, my way is right. Of course you can't control it. You just kill people. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, as you say, you know, she has much more compassion for the human nature. And she's also just fresh as a vampire, too. So, But she's just different. She's just different. You know, she's a different person. So
yeah. Well, I'm trying to side with Damon here because he made a good point of when Elena was crying to Bonnie saying like, oh, I should be here with Stefan. He's just like, no, like forget that. You know, like I'm doing it right because I'm the one who can kill I'm the one who can feed and not kill people because he makes it fun. Mm-hmm. He says he can do this without hurting people and he knows when to stop. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like Stefan doesn't know how to stop. He just knows to not do it.
Mm.
So I think, I mean, it's my opinion that she should hang out with Damon a little bit more. Mm. We'll see. Cause you know, she said that Stefan and Caroline don't really understand because they're so good at self-restraint and they can drink from bags, that they don't really understand what it's like to have to drink from the vein. So we shall see.
Well, I just think, you know, Damon's way is a little more twisted and I think it's a longer road to get to where it needs to happen. And I think, well, in a way it'd almost be like a crash course. She's going to kill someone faster if she's with Damon.
Because I feel like the way that Stefan is teaching her is just like shielding her, like babying her, like putting her in a little cocoon. So that she doesn't do what she's naturally supposed to do. So she won't be able to handle it when it does happen.
And she can't have that. She has to be able to break out so that she knows how it feels and she can fight it.
Good opinions, ladies. I'm not sure where I fall on that because I just don't trust Damon. But that's another issue.
I think we're going to find out when Elena kills her first victim.
Yeah.
Either on purpose or by accident.
Yeah. You know, I think I hold grudges and I will never forget that he tried to kill Jeremy. So,
Damon. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
people that tried to kill Jeremy though.
I know, but he already had a relationship with Elena at that point, a friendship with her. And I, you know, that's just something me personally can't go back from.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see Damon, do the right thing and help her, but I'm not convinced yet. But you're right. I'm not quite sure that Stefan's way is right for her either. Maybe there's another vampire that has...
Catherine.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's got to be Catherine.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
She's the one who can teach. Okay, so we've kind of pretty much... What did we think? Well, should we even talk about Bonnie's witch professor yet? Or should we just go back to the flashback scenes first? Well, we didn't even mention that Connor, the vampire hunter that Damon thought was dead. They get a phone call that he's not dead.
They couldn't find his remains at the explosion.
Yeah,
they thought that Damon and Klaus had gotten rid of them.
Nope. Right, and
turns out Klaus has him.
Klaus has him tied up in his mansion, wherever that is.
In his red room of pain.
I know.
Is that a nod to 50 Shades of Grey?
I kind of thought it was. When I heard that, I chuckled and I
watched the episode twice and both times it made me think of the 50 Shades. So
red
pretty
room
sure
of
the
pain.
Writers are teasing the audience.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure too. And so he's there and they're trying to get information out of him. They're trying to, you know, from what we understand, the tattoos are a map.
They grow every time a new vampire or the vampire hunter kills a vampire. So it's like leading them further into the map.
Right. And Klaus needs Rebecca for information and brings her back into the mansion. And she's like, I thought you were gone. And he's like, no. And of course she knows that he has plans, whatever that may be. And sees Connor there. Connor doesn't really know his history, but we go back, we have some flashbacks, because, I think also at this point, Klaus calls Stefan over, right?
Mm-hmm.
To the mansion.
Stefan is instrumental in Klaus's plan. Yes.
He uses Stefan to try and get information out of Rebecca. So at one point, they're all having dinner with Connor tied up in the other room. And they start talking about, you know, what happened way back in the day. And we see Elijah in the flashbacks with Klaus. Yay. I know. I was like, oh.
No, you were excited for that, huh?
I was so excited. I was like, yay, Elijah's back. And they hear, I think, a little speech from a vampire hunter. And, you know, they're kind of just all standing there. They're both standing there like, uh-oh, mouths drop. Like,
They're publicly executing vampires. Yep. And so essentially Elijah is telling Klaus, like, hey, you better, you know, go low key because they're going to get found out. And yeah, of course, in Klaus like manner, he takes it as a challenge.
Of course he does. Of course he does. Yeah. So then his family has dinner with one of the vampire hunters. And, you know, as we know in this episode so far, or even from the last episode, Rebecca is having some trouble finding love and finding someone to love her. And mm-hmm. she was trying really hard early in this episode to kind of get back into Matt's good graces. And that's exactly when Klaus saw her and said, you're trying too hard.
Buying him a truck. How typical.
Oh my gosh. That girl needs to learn how to win people's feelings back.
She's just never learned because they've always turned out very poorly, which we find out in learning about the relationship she had with this man that she thought that she was going to marry.
And I mean, okay, first of all, it's a vampire hunter that we find out. She's just got really, she's got a bad taste in choosing her men. I think the only one, maybe, I don't know, we don't know her full history with men, but the only one that was somewhat probably valiant was Stefan, but then that mm-hmm. all kind of turned kaput because of Elena. But so they're having dinner and they find out more, and then it has to do with the sword, right? The sword and the tattoos. Am I getting all of that right?
Right. So what happens is, like, even though it forced Jeremy to draw the map because he's the only one who can see it. So they have this map that they've taken off of Connor's arm in pencil form, but they can't actually use the map because the only way to execute upon it is to use this sword mm-hmm. that was in possession of Rebecca's lover, the vampire hunter, mm-hmm. and he's dead. So Klaus's big thing of needing Stefan is to get the information out of Rebecca where this sword is you know, hidden, mm-hmm. hidden. And of course we find out later that it's, since Rebecca was so in love with this guy, she paid him respect and buried him somewhere, and that's where the sword is.
Right, because they were having a little sexy night, Rebecca mm-hmm. and the vampire hunter, and he stuck the white oak, you know, sword in her.
Literally backstabbed her.
Right, and then almost killed everyone, but then, you know, Klaus is invincible to that, so or was able to, I don't know.
He resurrected.
Yeah, he resurrected somehow since he was a hybrid. And
he was pissed at Rebecca, though. He was just pissed at her.
Yeah, I mean, he basically said, look, you almost caused the destruction of our entire family because of a man, because of looking for love. And she said she didn't know. She didn't know that was going to happen. But, I mean, she was flirting with, you know, danger from the start. They all knew that he was a vampire hunter, and I guess maybe they let her do that to try and get more information out of him, but at the same time, she just kind of, you know, fell in love. And
but it's true, though, because when Klaus was yelling at Rebecca, all he wanted to know is what that guy promised her. What did he promise her so that she would become vulnerable?
Right.
And we later find out that he had promised her that they would get married, they would have children one day, they, you know, start a family, that sort of thing. And she buried him in the place where they were supposed to get married to each other.
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of sad.
It was sad. I felt so bad for Rebecca. She's just she never finds the winner.
No, she never finds the winner, and she always gets stabbed back with the white oak. for a little while. Klaus
stabs so many times.
I know. Klaus puts her down so many times, and then, you know, somehow she gets out. Either he pulls it out at one point because he's like, oh, I need my sister, or somebody else pulls it out of her or something. But I'm like, here she goes. She'll be down for what? Probably the last half of the season, and then come back like after the first half of the season.
As usual.
She'll come back all pissed off again. She will come back, I'm pretty sure. And now I'm just used to her being put down for a little bit. Rebecca's put down.
The way that she got put down, that was so sad.
That was because she would just basically look to Klaus, look me in the eye and do it. And you could tell Klaus did not want to do it, but then he just did it. Yeah. I felt the remorse actually at that point from Klaus, and I looked and I, you know, you could feel it from Stefan, like, is he really going to do this? You know? Yeah, oh my God. And I think
Stefan felt bad too, because, well, Stefan had his own motives for getting the information out of Rebecca, because, we haven't talked about this yet, but he gets the information of Rebecca through her heart. He tells her why, he would want to have this secret that the five have, like this weapon. And the reason is because, you know, he says, like, oh, if I could be human, and if I could marry Elena, grow old with her together, start a family and die together, I would do it. And then that's what gets Rebecca, Miss Romantic Hearted Rebecca, to tell where she buried her man. And so rewinding back of like what the thing is they're looking for, it turns out that this map and this sword are so sought after at this point because it can turn a vampire back into a human. And so Stefan has his own motives because he wants to turn Elena back into a human, which leads us back to the reason why he wants to do it, because once she turns off her humanity, he believes that Elena will never come back, so he's trying to save her.
Interesting.
Yeah, so many stories. Kind of
it was an interesting circle back to Klaus's whole history about Elena, like the whole reason that he's been following her around for so long. So it was kind of cool that they brought it back the way that they did.
Yeah, but see, he had Klaus's his intention is not to save Elena per se. He just wants to continue having his his hybrids.
Yeah, he just wants his hybrids.
They have been reduced to like house security because he can't make any more of them.
That's true.
Yeah. So he's essentially trying to save Elena so that he can restart his army and have a family, I guess.
Yeah. He always has a motive. He always has you know,
he's using everyone's heartstrings to do it.
Exactly.
Stefan loses it. He's still going to do it.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. But that's not stoppy stuffing, because he wants that cure, right? Mm-hmm. Poor Rebecca, but we'll see her again. Pretty confident about that. I'd be shocked if we didn't see Rebecca one more time, or you know, another time during this season. So let's go back to Bonnie's Professor Shane.
Who they think is hot.
They think he's hot, and he knows about the cult, and knows about Bonnie's grams, and, you know...
Has these files on grams that he wants to share with Bonnie, who's... Right.
Yeah, he knows a lot more than what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Right, and we find out how much more when Connor, later, the vampire hunter... rips, an earring off of one of the hybrid's ear... And uses it to unpin himself from the shackles and kills that hybrid. And then next time we see him, he's like walking into the professor's house. Mm-hmm. He's like, why'd you send me to Mystic Falls?
So, yeah. What the heck?
And that's it. And then we're like, what? How do they know each other? How is this possible? So obviously Bonnie's getting played somehow.
Oh, totally. Of course.
She doesn't know it. And he, you know, professor's asking Bonnie's questions, you know, chumming up to Bonnie, saying, like, oh, so do you still practice? Like, do you practice? Like, there are other ways if you want to keep, you know, exploring your magic, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He's totally playing her if he's working with this vampire hunter.
Mm-hmm. Well,
sounds like professor's the boss.
Yeah. Is he? He's not a witch, apparently. So is he a hunter himself, maybe? Or
idea.
I can't tell. Because he told Bonnie he doesn't practice, he's not a witch. Do we believe him?
No.
Okay. So you guys think he's a witch then, right? Or
I don't know what he is.
He's got to be a witch or a hunter, right?
Yeah, I believe he's some sort of supernatural, because there's no way that he would know so much without being in the circle somehow. Yeah.
My bet is that he's part of the vampire hunters.
That's what I'm thinking. He's got that. Well, we didn't see any tattoos on him, but he's got that symbol, that wall hanging with the symbol.
Right. No one's going to see it either. They're not going to show it unless Jeremy's around.
That's true. Let's see. Should we take bets? Is he a vampire hunter? He a witch? Or is he just, if he's just a human, I'd be surprised.
Vampire hunter. I'd bet something on it. Bottle of wine.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess.
I feel like he knows a lot about the occult, though.
Yeah, so he could be a witch.
And he's just hiding it, you know, just doesn't want to. But I don't know, the way Bonnie asks. Yeah, and the way Bonnie asks, though, now that I'm thinking about it, she's like, wait, are you? And he's like, no. And I did believe that. Did you guys believe that scene where she asked him, like, no, wait, are you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about when Bonnie's cousin or whatever was in the house in a previous season and they could feel each other's energy. I'm pretty sure he's not a witch. At least with the information they've given us so far, I don't think he's a witch, but I think he's a vampire hunter for sure. Because I mean, why would Connor be reporting to him?
True.
He's got to have somebody. I mean, even just the story of how Connor discovered that he was a vampire hunter. He told Jeremy that you know, one day the tattoos just showed up after he had met another vampire hunter that he didn't even keep in touch with.
Oh, maybe it's him. Just showed up.
Yeah, and he has to seek some counsel from somebody.
So it's got, then in that respect, then he probably is a vampire hunter, right?
Yeah.
Right?
We'll see. I mean, there can come a time where we exchange the terms of this bet, but he's a vampire hunter for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what to think.
And they need a witch. I mean, the five have always needed a witch. So it looks like maybe he's trying to utilize Bonnie somehow. Bonnie is always getting used.
I know, poor thing. She needs her little. She needs her own little coven to help her.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and she's vulnerable because she's attracted to this teacher.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he probably needs her for a spell. Everyone needs Bonnie for a spell.
Yep.
Oh God.
She's just gonna crack one day.
I know. I really do think that. She's gonna go evil on everybody.
Yeah.
That
was the cliffhanger, so we don't really know until next week. I haven't seen any previews for next episode, but
well, apparently Jeremy gets captured by Connor. So I think the whole, like, what is there's going to be a situation where he needs to get rescued. So I don't know how that's going
to
play.
And he doesn't have his ring because Klaus took it off. Or, well, they give it back to him. I'm assuming they give it back to him because after Klaus made Jeremy make the drawing of Connor's arm, he released Jeremy and told Stefan to make sure that he just didn't remember it.
Mm.
And they brought Jeremy home.
Which is
why Stefan was at the house when Elena got dropped off by Dan.
Right.
So I think he's fine right now, but...
Ooh, and the description also says Caroline is surprised to find Haley at the Lockwood Mansion.
Who's Haley? Oh, Haley's Phoebe Tonkin.
Oh, snap. Okay.
I actually saw some pictures. In looking for last week's thumbnail for our last Bike Club show, they already had released pictures of Caroline and... what's her face together? What's her name?
Haley?
Haley, yeah. Okay. And they do not look happy with each other. It's like really awkward because Tyler's like, oh, God.
Well, you know, Tyler was going through a thing in his first, you know, as he was beginning to be a werewolf, but still.
I'm excited for there to be tension or drama between Tyler and Caroline.
Oh, yeah.
Because as much as I'm interested in Tyler and as much as I love Caroline, I still don't know if I like them together.
I know. I don't think I like them together either.
I want to see Caroline dive into some Klaus action or Stefan action and let Tyler do his own thing. Whatever.
With Haley?
Go get that new girl. Yeah, get her.
Damn. Yeah. Damn, Stephanie. Very cool. Well, looking forward to next week's episode, which I think is going to be another crazy one. I'm sure Jeremy will survive, but how are they going to get him back? How are they going to do it? Hey, we have one email from Shelley who writes in, and the subject is about Snow White and the Huntsman. Now, we haven't talked about this movie in a long time, but she says, "You are the only people that I've heard say you didn't like the movie. I saw it at the theater and loved everything about it. Everyone at work that I talked to about it loves it. The other podcast I listened to loved it and did a whole show on how good it was. When my sister came back from Texas to visit, we got it, Redbox, and watched it 2 times back to back. I usually agree with most of what you talk about, but not this. Maybe you should give it a second try."
I don't know. Maybe it's something that I missed. Maybe it's because I watched it at midnight. I'm not really sure. But... She loved every minute of it. I mean, that's cool. But
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. I watched it afterwards. I don't know where I watched it, but I totally did. I thought it was okay. I thought it was neat. I really, really liked the graphics. I thought it was beautiful. But just when I walked away from the movie, I was just like, okay, that was all right. Yeah.
I felt unconvinced that Chris Hemsworth was her one and only. I didn't feel that connection between them. I loved Theron. I loved, the special effects like you, Shannon. But I think the story itself or the execution of the love story specifically wasn't really there. And some may argue that it's not really a love story. Not like a dominating love story, but it's just so unconvincing. Mm-hmm. He was her kiss. Like when he kissed her, I just felt like, oh, why would he do that? You know?
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't really think I don't really believe that he fell in love with her or vice versa. Mm. But I believed most of what Charlize Theron did, even though she was, you know, in stark contrast to Kristen Stewart sometimes I thought that maybe she was overacting, but she was just good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I really liked Charlize Theron in that movie, but I thought the rest of it was a little unbelievable and it could have been edited down a lot. There were a lot of scenes of walking in the woods that didn't really need to be there.
Well, you know, maybe I'll watch it again if it ever comes on HBO. That'll be the next time. Not going to rent it. Not going to pay for it. I'll pay for it through cable. Or a weekend TBS thing. Because I don't think I'm going to change
my opinion. I like the dwarves. I do. I feel like I like individual pieces of the movie a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think as a story, it didn't really come together for me.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I'm probably not going to change my opinion on it. But
I mean, I'm glad that she liked it.
Yeah.
But I'm also a little like... I think I'm a little traumatized by the actual, like, the real world news that happened.
Yes.
It's me like, too. Oh, I can't really watch that movie because in the time that they were making this movie, she was sleeping with the director. And it's like, gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't go there. Hey, one quick thing that I didn't put in the lineup, you guys, since you both, wait, Shannon, do you watch Teen Wolf or not?
No, I don't. You guys go ahead.
So there was some rumors, and I don't know if it's true or not, that, Stephanie, that the guy who plays Jackson may not be on the show anymore.
I heard that too.
Did you hear that? So I'm a little kind of shocked about that because his storyline is not done. In fact,
but he's the was it Kanema? And he may just stay in that form or I don't know. It's been a while since the season has ended, but when I read this news, I was like, yeah, that could happen. Hmm. Like since he's now this bad guy pretty much that just is under the spell of whoever controls the creature. I mean, he has no real self-will anymore. What's he going to do?
Huh. Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, like, I guess the rumor was that there was some contract negotiations that broke down because he was only going to be in, like, half the season or something. And I don't know. So, and I guess, I had just done a little bit of digging in here, but I guess he's dating... what's her face? The redhead.
Oh, in real life.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
I like their scenes together in the actual show. I mean, it's fiction, but I like the struggle that they have with each other where they love each other, but you know, there are all these external pressures that make them feel like out of obligation, they shouldn't be together.
Yeah. But like in real life, I guess they're really a couple, at least.
I'm going to have to look that up. How cute.
Yeah. So, all All right. Well, anybody who watches Teen Wolf, if you guys are wondering wondering about next season or whatever, we may not see Annie Jackson.
When does next season return?
I don't think till like late spring or summer of next year. Yeah.
Well, coming back sooner is Being Human.
I know.
I think it's January 14th or 15th, but not too far away. About 2 months from now, we will get to see the next season. I guess it's season 3 of Being Human.
Yeah, it is season 3 of Being Human. Oh. So,
yeah. We have a friend named Dale Chase who's very excited about it.
Oh, okay.
he wants to guest host during that time. So, yeah, there's some hardcore Being Human fans, which I'm very excited about.
Awesome. 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 Well, I think that does it for this episode of Bike Club Show. We'll be back. We'll probably have the Walking Dead premieres tonight, and we wanted to record before the show for timing's sake, but we'll have more to say about the episode that airs tonight on our next show. But thank you very much for listening, and until next time,
bye.
Bye.